One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Time to preach. You have your Bible. Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I've referred to this before, but I simply find my text in it and go straight into the message. I'm preaching tonight on this kind. This kind. The Bible's always talking about this. It said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Over in the book of Acts, it said, this is that. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, he said, this book. And in Genesis, chapter 5, verse 1, he said, this is the book. This is the book. And in another place, he said, this is the way. Walk in. And so tonight, I want to preach on the subject of this kind. What kind do you have? What kind would you like to have? Now, the setting in the 17th chapter follows the experience of Jesus, Peter, James, and John after they'd had a conference with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. They come down and find at the foot of the hill and a tremendous, wonderful experience. They found an epileptic boy that had been falling in the fire and the water, had been bruised and no doubt was scarred over most of his body. His daddy had come from whatever distance, I do not know, except he might have come a long ways. He'd promised his boy that he's going to get well. He said, you won't have any more fits, no more seizures, and you'll not be scarred and burned, and you'll not be abnormal anymore, son. So he got him to Jesus. Well, the disciples tried to do it because Jesus was not there. They could not, the Bible says. And so in a little while, Jesus came and said, bring him to me, after he'd rebuked the disciples. And then when they asked him, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus answered and said, because of your unbelief. That's it. You just didn't believe, did you? Because of your unbelief. He said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. I could call my subject tonight the forgotten doctrine of the Bible. Not just neglected, but forgotten. Do you realize that I went through Baylor University and through Southwestern Seminary? I was in school almost or about 7 years in college and graduate work, and nobody ever, none of the professors, theology teachers, doctrine teachers, or any other teacher, ever told us that fasting is supposed to be practiced today. Now, they cheated this preacher. Now, if you show me one verse in the scripture that says that fasting has been done away with, it's been deleted from the Christian's practice, I'd be willing to consider. But there's not one place in the Bible. Fact is, they came to Jesus and said, why do your disciples not fast? He said, well, the bridegroom's here. But he said, after the bridegroom's gone, they will fast. They will fast. Now, I've got so many things that I want to share tonight. Help me now as I preach. First of all, I'd like to ask you, what is fasting? Now, I could go to the book of Matthew and just remember this, brother. Fasting goes along with praying. Jesus, now he started off and he took the first things first. He said, now, when you pray, he said, get in your closet. That's the best praying you'll ever do. Closet praying. That's number one prayer. Get in your closet. Get off by yourself. And if you can't pray in private, you have no business to stand up in public and try it. I mean, private prayer. Private prayer. Listen, that's what made this nation great. That's what won World War number one, was closet prayer meetings. I mean, the old prayer warriors, they went to their prayer closet and they prayed. And God blessed them and heard their prayers. And the war was over after we got into it in a few days. Now, we've gotten away. We've substituted beauty parlors for prayer closets. We've substituted recreation for praying in our churches. And so, and Jesus said, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer. Now, what is fasting? What's it good for? Number one, it's just plain Bible living. That's number one. It's just Bible living. It's just living like the Bible said, just fasting. I mean, it's Bible living. Second, it's very helpful for you physically. You know, we're living in the day of diet pills. And the best way in the world to keep it from getting on the outside is don't put it on the inside. If you watch your input, you won't have to worry about the outlay. I don't know why people think that fasting wouldn't regulate their weight. Be the best thing. Why, listen, it's Mother Nature's way to clean house. I want all the young people, I wish somebody told me this when I was coming up. I mean, after I got called to preach, if they'd have just told me this, it'd have been such a blessing, such a help to me. Fasting, it's Mother Nature's cheapest way of healing. Listen, pills and medicine and hospital bills and intensive care, well, it costs too much for even a rich man almost to go to hospital. I don't see how anybody could afford to go to hospital. It'd be better just to, you know, die at home. And just like I say, there ain't no place on earth where so many people die as a hospital. And I don't like to go to the hospital because everybody in it is sick or thinks they are. I don't mind visiting them, but I don't live with them. Fasting. Listen, Mother Nature has... And listen, don't you believe that human beings ought to be as smart as a dog? I guarantee when a dog gets sick, you won't feed him. Come on, Rover. Come here. Boy, look what I got you. He won't even smell it. You know what he'll do? He'll go off and fast. He'll rest. I guarantee he'll find him a place in the grass. Usually he gets off in the grass. You know why? Because there's healing in grass. And if he eats anything, he'll eat grass. Isn't that right? He'll chew up a mouthful of grass, and I'll guarantee you. He's got sense enough to eat wheat grass and grass of any kind he can get. He'll eat that grass. That's all he'll have. But human beings, you know, they haven't got that much sense. I mean, a dog got more sense than most anybody. And animals, they'll just fast and rest till they get well. Oh, listen, wouldn't it be a sight? Mother Nature. Now, you know, when my mother used to say, you boys, Evan, Edel, Lester, y'all go outside now. I'm going to clean house or I'm going to scrub. And so we couldn't walk over the linoleum or over the plank floors we had for a long time. And she just scrub, you know, and we just have to get outside and stay outside. Now, Mother Nature scrubs and mops and cleans. Now, you know what we used to do? When we started scrubbing the floor at the school, we'd take a little water and sprinkle on the floor, keep them snorting so much dust. Now, Mother Nature, about the only thing she needs is just a little water. She'll clean house. And these days of fasting and prayer that God leads us into, why don't we just go ahead and trust God to do something for us physically at that time? Give your old system a good cleansing. You know the number one healer is water. That's the number one healer. You take the herbalists and the people, the naturopaths, you know what they count on? Water. Water and herbs. Herbs. I mean the right kind of herb teas and the right kind of cleansing for your system, see? This is the generation of bathtubs. Boy, they've got, listen, people start building a home, said, how many bathrooms? Three or three and a half. Well, we have 2 full baths and 1 shower. Boy, that's a lot of them for one family, isn't it? I mean, when we only had 1 number, 3 tubs. We all had to get in it. I tell you what, that's back in the days when you couldn't afford to be too fat because you couldn't get a number 3 tub. You might stand in it and pour a little water down, but I mean, you couldn't get out of that number 3. And so fasting is withdrawing from the world and denying the flesh. And then the other side of it is thinking about Jesus, praying, Bible reading, memorizing the scripture. I'm going to set, as I go into a fast, I set some things to do. Now, not only, it's just not a matter of doing without meals. It's not just a matter of turning off the cook stove. It's a matter of lighting a fire in the other department. I mean, if you just fast and say, well, I'm going to do without food 2 or 3 days because I don't feel well anyhow, and I think I'll just, no, listen, fasting, you fast unto the Lord. You'd say, Lord, this is your 3 days for me. I'll just give every bit of it. I mean, I'm going to just think about the Lord, pray. I'm going to read. I want to memorize some chapters now during that time. If I'm going to fast, say, 3 days, Lord, help me to memorize 1 chapter each day. That'll be a part of the day right there. I just go over 1 chapter each day. Maybe I've been working on some, but I'm going to finish these 3 chapters. I'm going to memorize. You'll come out richer. Now, I tell you what, you'll miss the blessing if you just sat around and said, well, 1 day's nearly gone. I don't have but 2 to go, serve out my time. Yeah, you'll miss the blessing. You'll miss the blessing. You'd say, well, what are we gonna eat? Just eat the Lord. Taste that He's good. You say, well, what are we gonna live on? Live on the Lord. You'd say, Brother Roth, don't you think it's dangerous? That's what the doctor says, and the welfare said it's against the law. You can't make your children do without food. Nobody can miss a meal. Is that right? That's why you don't need to pay attention to that bunch. Oh, listen, why don't we go by the Bible? Now then, you'd say, is fasting really dangerous? No, sir. Now, 2 things, I've never said this. I'd never recommend more than what the Bible says. You'd say, what's the longest fast in the Bible? 40 days. Now, and I'd never go 40 days unless the Lord put me on that kind of a fast. But I'll guarantee you, if Moses could fast 40 days twice in a row and not die, I could, if the Lord told me to. If Elijah could fast 40 days and live, I can. If Jesus could fast 40 days, and He did, and nights, and live, I can. I mean, if the Lord tells, listen, that's fasting under the law, that's fasting under the prophets, that's fasting under grace. 40 days. Now, I would never exceed, and I'd never recommend. Now, I know one man that fasted 50 days and died. No doubt he was sincere. He was, I guess, setting a record and so forth, but he just didn't make it. He just died. I'd never want to go beyond what the Bible says or what the example was in the Word of God. Never would. I'm not saying that people ought to go 40 days. That's not for me to say. I'm not saying that you ought to fast 21 days. I believe you could. I believe this. Now, and I know there's some dangerous things. I know there's some scary things because poisons begin to get stirred up. Head begins to hurt. You begin to get dizzy. You know what it is? It's just poisons getting stirred up in you. You say, man, this is killing me. No, it's curing you. Would you let me just be a part of your family for a second and just give you something that I think would be real good? I think, actually, and chiropractors sometimes and doctors and others, and they'd say, well, it ought to be better. This is my judgment. This is my conviction. This is my conviction. You know, in the living Bible that's killing people, they quote God as saying, in my opinion. God never had an opinion in His whole life, and He's been here a long time. Can you imagine the stupid idiots saying, God said, well, now, you know, might as well just confess. I may not be right, but this is my opinion. I mean, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. They ought to haul that thing out the junk pile. And then they ought to somehow disinfect the junk pile when they get through burning it. My opinion, nothing. Brother, God has nothing but convictions. But this is my honest conviction. If during a fast, whether it be 3 days or whether it be 3 weeks, if when the poisons get stirred up and you get a little dizzy and you get a headache and so forth, and you begin, and when you go through a healing, you're going to go through a healing crisis. And you're gonna think you're dying when you're getting well. Don't be afraid. If you're going into a fast, go in it by faith. And then give Mother Nature some help. All she needs is a bunch of water. I think it'd be good to wash your face, wash your eyes with cold water. And it would certainly be good, actually, if I could say it, and you know, ought to know what I'm talking about. You take some good internal baths. That'll help Mother Nature quicker than anything that I know of. She'll just stir up a lot of old poisons, and there'll be gases and everything else and so forth. And if you just could, instead of washing off, wash out. And every little girl ought to be taught, and every man and woman, and every member of the family, they ought to be able to take an inside bath just as quick as they would go take an outside bath. Everybody runs in and said, well, I haven't had my bath. I got to go take a bath. Why don't we wash on the inside sometime? I'm just simply saying it's just the simplest thing in all the world. And water is the healer. But you got to get the water to where the dirt is. And the dirt, the disease dirt, is on the inside, not on the outside. Cancer doesn't start on the outside. You hardly ever find a person with a cancer on the outside. You don't get scared of a cancer. You got a little wart or something, they just whack it off and, you know, going about and so forth. And people have cigarette cancers on the lip and they cut them off. Brother, it's them old inside cancers that get to working. And it's an accumulation of poisons that get in there. And I tell you this, the right kind of water, oh, the water cure, the hydrotherapy, and the water baths, be a blessing to you. Be a blessing to you. Well, this is a family meeting. Now then, what shall I do? You said I'm not supposed to eat. I'm not supposed to have a lot of food. And I'd say this, any fast, if you're really on a fast, you ought to just get a divorce from the cook stove. Somebody said, well, I eat a little. I wouldn't cook nothing. If I was going to have anything, I'd have a piece of fruit. And if anybody in the world had plenty of fruit, it's us. You say, oh, I want some potatoes. Now, yeah, I know it. That's what's wrong with you now. Oh, this is a tater generation. Oh, listen. Why, if we just put plenty of good oranges and grapefruit and tangerines and some apples and whatever fruit we got and put it out on the table and make it a day of relaxation and resting and let our cooks go home and rest some, and it'd be a good thing for us. Man is so smart, God can't do anything to suit him. I can remember back in my ignorant days when I'd have grapefruit, you know. Oh, I never did particularly like it, but if I could put enough white sugar on it, I could down it. That's great, wasn't it? You can't imagine me being that stupid. See, I've learned a lot since then. My old depraved appetite, meat, bread, potatoes, and thickening gravy, and that's it. That is my menu every morning for breakfast. Not anything good, but, and sausage. Oh, listen, I guess so. And then that old ham, boy, I tell you, wake up in the morning and that ham aroma sweeping down that long ranch house hall. And hearing that oven door open and hear my mama is scraping the boards, you know, where she'd rolled out the big biscuits, you know. And I'd go in there at the table and, Well, Mother Nature, listen, God will forgive you. Mother Nature will never forgive you. Never. You go ahead. There's one thing about it. You're going to reap just what you sow physically. You abuse this body, Mother Nature will never forgive you. She's going to always send the bill. She's going to send the bill. Why don't you just go ahead and live a clean life and get off of your junk and let your body be clean? Why don't you do that? Try that sometimes. Have you ever noticed a little baby, how sweet the little baby's breath is? Have you ever heard anybody say, sweet as a baby's breath? Huh? Listen, dear friends, I believe this. The older people get, the more poisons accumulate on the inside. You hear people say, you know, I've never had a sick day. I just eat anything I want to eat. I heard a man get on the radio one time, and he said, listen, I can eat anything. I can eat ham and potatoes. I eat French fries before I go to bed. And I could eat nails. Nothing bothers me. In 30 days from the time he said he was dead, he got away overweight. He took off 50 pounds in just a few days, had a stroke, and died. You know, Mother Nature's not going to put up with a lot of foolishness. You go ahead, you violate the laws of nature. Bro, that's one law you'll never get by violating. I guarantee Mother Nature's got her FBI man that'll get you every time. Don't you think she won't? She'll get you. Why, she's a pretty stern. You know, Mother Nature, see, if you live right, you see, she performs a bloodless operation every night if you'd give her a chance. See, you get in, and of course, I know it. I don't like to sleep either. I mean, I don't like to go to bed, but you got to, and you go in. And before you go to bed, you go by the kitchen. And you go in there and said, what are we going to eat now? What do you got? Let's eat. We want to eat something. Mother Nature said, no, now don't eat because I'm going to clean house tonight while you're asleep. But you go ahead and you fill up on a bunch of stuff. And you lay there and, brother, those gases begin to circulate and hit your brain. And you have a nightmare. Man, see? And... Mother Nature, see, she's got you. She gave you an anesthetic when she put you to sleep, but you kicked and ragged so she couldn't operate. She wanted to clean house, you see, but you wouldn't let her. She wanted to heal you up during the night, make you feel refreshed. And, no, but you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. The heart, you know, said, well, I was hoping to get a little rest tonight, but since he ate those fried potatoes and that chunk of meat, I'm going to have to pump all night. Try to digest all that junk he ate. The liver said, me too. I don't get the rest myself. And all the rest of it, gallbladder and all the rest. See, everything had to work all night long. You wake up the next morning, you know what you do? Or you just kind of raise up and you said, what time is it? 7 o'clock. I don't feel like I've been to bed. Man, I'm tired now. I wasn't when I went to bed. You know why? You worked all night. You worked all night, see? Your vital organs had to work all night. I'm talking to you. What is fasting? Fasting is refusing to eat like you ordinarily do, and then it's spending time in the Word of God and prayer. Now, what are you going to do when you go on a fast? I think one good thing would be take a good walk every day. I mean, a brisk walk instead of just really take off and then just breathe as deep as you can. You'd be surprised how much lung you got that never have been used. You, and of course, I know what'll happen. You breathe real deep, you know. Real deep, you know, and you say, oh, I'm getting dizzy. Yeah, I'm about to faint. Yeah. Well, you know why? You pulled a new exercise on yourself. Listen, according to the reports, nobody ever uses over a third of their lungs. Two-thirds of them go to waste. Breathe. I mean, just breathe. Walk, breathe, and exercise. Read your Bible, memorize, spend time in prayer, and be definite in your praying. Don't jump into the prayer and say, now, if it be thy will, dear Lord, I'd be ashamed to approach God like that. That's an insult to God's love and mercy. I better not catch you praying like that. Can you imagine anybody being stupid enough? Say, Lord, if it be thy will, fix a place where the little girls can stay. And if it be thy will for them to go back to the hippie hives and the dope dives, then thy will be done. Brother, that's not praying. That's wasting your time, and God's already turned you off anyhow. Pray definite. Pray for your home. Pray for your own heart. Pray for victory in your own life. Confess every sin you know about, and then ask God to reveal those you know nothing about. Then forsake every sin. And I want you to get this now. These four things we must have. We must, according to this fast, the Bible says, loose the bands of wickedness. Loose the bands of wickedness. Undo the heavy burden. Let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. And yet a bunch of us can walk and run, but we never will. Sit around until we decay and rot. God's people need discipline today. Sometimes I wish we could get rid of all the automobiles and get back on the horses or bicycles or just walk. Oh, you'd say, well, Brother Roloff, we could never, I know. But dear friends, we just need, I'm trying to pump into you tonight some old-fashioned Bible discipline that'll make you stay well, and you'll be glad that you learned some things and put them to practice. Why fast? I mean, give the real reasons, Brother Roloff. It's scriptural. I'd be wasting my time if it wasn't in this old book. It's scriptural. You'd say, well, Brother Roloff, you mean the thing that I dread is I won't get to eat anything. Now, wait a minute. It's not a matter of not eating. You're going to eat, you're just going to change gardens. You're just going to get out of your garden and go to God's garden. You see, you're fasting to Him. You'd say, but what if I starve? What if I die? What if I... Well, I tell you what. If you do, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yeah. You'll be happier dead than you were alive anyhow. And so, it's scriptural. Did you know that the foreign mission program started while the church was fasting? The Bible said, while they were fasting and praying, the Lord said, separate Barnabas and Saul to the gospel ministry. And they laid their hands. That's where the mission program started, right there. The church was, they weren't in feasting, they were in fasting. And God started a worldwide. Did you know that that very fasting experience of the church was what pumped the gospel to us as Gentiles? Did you know that Paul went west and came to us? Did you know that he came as a missionary to the Gentiles when he left the Jews, and that meant us? And did you know I'm saved tonight because the church decided to pray and fast? Revival has often come. Cities have been saved. Walls have been rebuilt when Nehemiah prayed and fasted.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.